All right, let me jump on into my comments for the day. Listen, folks, fans, and friends, we are sailing on strange tides in uncharted waters. So you ever watch the reality TV show Deadliest Catch? I used to watch it all the time. Amazing to see what it takes to haul in the crab, right? The Bering Sea is merciless. Sometimes the men are sailing calm waters, hauling in pots of king crab, laughing and just yucking it up. Other times, though, they're covered in layers of wet weather gear as ice freezes on the decks and the waves come crashing into the bow. And every once in a while, there comes a time when the captain grabs a microphone and yells into the PA system for the crew to brace themselves as a rogue wave rises up out of nowhere and smashes into the boat like a freight train. Well, y'all, that's where we are in American politics right now. The Republicans are on the crab, hauling in pots, loving life, calm waters. Democrats, they're on an ice-laden vessel being slammed by rogue waves, and all they can do is brace themselves. But before we get cocky, let me suggest that those of us on the right side of things, we had better brace ourselves as well. Because Democrats are flailing, and they are willing to drag us down with them if that's what it takes, and they will stop at nothing. So here's my message today. Brace yourselves, because we got 100 days to go. Look, I'm not going to kid you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We're living in strange and difficult times, and you do need to brace yourselves because it's about to get more intense. By now, I'm sure you've all heard what we've all known for the longest time has finally been admitted, or at least acquiesced to. Joe Biden cannot sustain the rigors of his office. Yesterday afternoon, in a move that caught even his own staff off guard, which is crazy, Biden issued a written statement on social media that tried vainly to list a series of proud liberal accomplishments and then said that despite his desire to continue to serve, that he was stepping down from his campaign for a second term as President of the United States. No press conference, no address to the nation, just what my brother referred to as the equivalent of a high school breakup text. It's a decision that needed to happen, and it also is a decision that sent shockwaves around the world. It's a decision that was predictable and yet also surprising in a way. It's also a clear indication that we have a White House being led by someone other than the man whose name is on the sign out front. Joe Biden is now officially a lame duck president. But we are officially also a nation in need of leadership, real leadership. The kind that actually shows up for work and knows what day it is. But also the kind that can immediately bring some calm and restore some order and fend off enemies and win back friends, calm frayed nerves, and empower good people to do great things. It was also very telling that in his initial statement, Biden did nothing more than thank Kamala Harris for her time serving with him. It wasn't until a little bit later that he rushed out on a second tweet with an endorsement of her to take his place. Interesting. I can only imagine that when she saw the emptiness of the original statement leaving her name off the marquee, that an angry phone call made a quick reminder that it would be her name leading a charge to invoke the 25th Amendment if an endorsement was not forthcoming. Oh, yeah. She suddenly had an endorsement, and Biden, even though he can't run for office, even though he's too frail to stand for trial, he can apparently still hold the Oval Office and keep us all safe. Please, somebody tell our enemies that. Look, 2 months ago on the air, I predicted that we would be here. Last week, I did a monologue on the idea that liberal elites were staging a soft coup. Over the weekend, I advanced that concept further and wrote an op-ed that was published just this morning. And yesterday afternoon, Joe Biden and the Democrat elites proved me right. Biden's on the outs. He's old news, thrown to the wolves, hit the skids, thrown under the bus, off the island. Just like that, the guy who they told us could run rings around his staff every day, who Karine Jean-Pierre said could keep a vigorous schedule and had no issues, who Kamala Harris herself said was well in command of his position, that same guy is now just biding his time and taking longer naps. They lied. They lied a lot. But we are the ones facing the consequences of their lies. See, the world is not a safer place right now. And we don't know who's holding the nuclear codes in the White House. This past weekend, the war in the Middle East ramped up significantly. Have you heard that? Israel responded to Houthi drone strikes by annihilating a Yemeni port 1,000 miles away from their border. China's still rising. Ukraine's on fire. In a mere 100 days from the election, the Democrats have decided to depose their candidate, the guy who just got millions of Democrat primary votes. But it's not the first time. Full credit here to independent journalist Michael Schellenberger, who pointed out this weekend that in the 2016 run, the Democrat National Committee manipulated the money and the processes of their primary to make sure that Hillary Clinton could beat Bernie Sanders because, you know, it was really her time anyway, right? Or in 2020, when the party elites pushed out Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar and pitted Elizabeth Warren against Bernie Sanders so that it would create a clear path for Biden. Nice. This year, you might also recall the Democrat elites. They refused to allow a true open primary in the Democrat Party as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was running a strong uprising and his party refused to let him debate Biden. So he left and launched a third-party spoiler campaign. Look, it doesn't matter what the rank-and-file Democrat voters think. It's the party elite who get to make the decisions. They've decided Biden's out, despite telling you he was in, because the polls showed the voters rebelling. So once again, those very few people who believe that only they know best are stepping in to make sure that you know that they know best. But now they have logistical issues of their own making. Self-inflicted wounds are crushing them. There's $91 million in campaign funds that were raised for the Biden-Harris campaign that are locked up. By federal law, those funds cannot be spent on anyone but Biden and/or Harris. That's a big hurdle. $91 million in the last 100 days of the race, and they can't write checks on it until they know for sure who the candidate is. They're allowed to give it to the Democrat Party to use to support down-ballot races, but that'd be like giving up the presidency. And then, oh, by the way, then there's various state laws that they're running into problems with. Wisconsin. I'm told that Wisconsin does not allow withdrawal from the ballot for any reason besides death. As far as we know, Biden hadn't died. Nevada. My understanding is that no changes can be made to the ballot after 5 p.m. on the fourth Friday in June after an election year of a nominee or if a nominee dies or is adjudicated insane or mentally incompetent. Well, it's past June. Biden has not died, nor has he been 25th. How about Georgia? If Biden withdraws less than 60 days before an election, his name will remain on the ballot, but no votes will be counted. Doesn't apply here yet, but the clock on Georgia is ticking. How about Texas? The two parties' nominees have until the 74th day before the election to withdraw from the ballot. As of today, there's only 106 days. The next candidate could still be added, but time is running short. Some states, like South Carolina, they don't allow candidates to withdraw for purely political reasons. Still up in the air, there's no indication they will allow the change, and Biden swears to the world that it's just about politics, which is technically not allowed. And then some states, they don't even have laws on the books for dealing with a presidential nominee withdrawing, and there's little precedent for such a situation. The next few weeks are going to be very, very interesting. Will it be an open convention? Will the party rally around Kamala Harris? Can they? So brace yourselves, my friends, because the Democrats are scrambling right now. There's an air of desperation. And listen, upheaval is the devil's playground. If you don't like Kamala Harris, you're going to be branded a racist, a misogynist, a MAGA white Christian nationalist. If she dares to pick Buttigieg to be her running mate and you don't like it, you'll be branded homophobic. All the counterpoints, the lies, and accusations will make those of us on the right appear to be the reason why they are floundering in high seas, but we're not. They sailed willingly into those rough seas. The waves crashing into them are the ones that came with the territory they chose to fish in. But for us on the right, we got to stay on mission. Stay even-keeled. Keep hauling the pots and stay on the crab, if you know what I mean. But brace yourselves nonetheless, because this is going to be a crazy 100 days, and rogue waves can pop up anytime. Brace yourselves. That's a wrap for the Right Side Way. I'm saying, y'all, you know, years ago, I had my lifeguard certification, and one of the first things they taught you was that a drowning man will drag people under with him. Just be aware. They're floundering, they're flailing, they're in high seas, and the rogue waves are slamming into their boat. You need to brace yourselves, because they're going to try and drag us down, and we can't let it happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.